First of all, and briefly, the doctrine of the Trinity was not pulled out of some philosopher's brain as a meaningless theory. In fact, it grew in the church, growing right out of page after page of the New Testament's encounter with Jesus. Nor is it an effort to figure God out. Rather, it is a witness to the mystery of the God whom we have not got figured out. But far more than that, our language of the Trinity is a witness to the God who encountered us in Jesus, and the God we encounter when we worship the one we cannot fully grasp. We can't grasp God, but God does grasp us. The Trinity is as near to us as the wonder of creation around us and the forgiveness and healing our broken world needs, and the love we long for in our deepest hearts. For us, the language of the Trinity emerges in the creed we say every Sunday. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. God is the creator, source of everything that is good. Today we heard the first of the Bible's two stories of creation, in which God creates all things out of nothing, including creating us humans. At every step, God calls creation good. Its beauty and wonder shine out to all people who pay heed. But the sheer abyss of the light and darkness of God's own essential being, which we can never understand, but can love and worship, the sheer reality of God, the God who is incomparable, who is good beyond measure, whose goodness is reflected in every side of creation, that God is the person we mortals call God the Father, the creator, the source of everything. And because we humans are made in God's image, we create things ourselves. Human creativity can be glorious. I myself think of Mozart's piano concertos. You'll have your favorites. Our glorious creativity arises from God's endless creativity, since we are children of the Creator. But sadly, we know that God's creation is broken. Too many things happen that are not good, like diseases and dementia. Shot through creation is a fissure of darkness that is not divine. And not all human creations are good either. Think of the anti-Semitic art of the Nazi regime in Germany. Creative, brilliant, and foul, polluting God's good creation, attacking God's own people. So when it comes to humankind, that brokenness of a good creation takes a turn into what scripture and tradition call sin. We are good, the beloved creatures of God. Yet we struggle so with our own brokenness. Who is free of sin with no fractures? What community? But that leads us to the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, the Son of God, the Word and wisdom of God, God made human in Jesus. Jesus encountered people who knew beyond doubt that they were broken and sinners. Tax collectors, prostitutes, demoniacs, enslaved to evil. Now we know something about God beyond doubt. Only God can forgive and heal sin. Only God. But all four Gospels and St. Paul witness to Jesus' authority, an authority absolutely unlike any human. Jesus himself did forgive sin. Like the Creator, Jesus repaired brokenness, raise into new life those who seem spiritually dead. Jesus reveals the God who will pay any price to help people who know that they need nothing short of God. Jesus is the God who saves, redeems, forgives, transforms, and himself pays the price all the way to the darkness of the cross and the light of Jesus' triumph over all sin in the resurrection. We are forgiven if we will believe it. In turn, Jesus challenges us to forgive those who have harmed us. Jesus taught the way of forgiveness, even of enemies, unequivocally. And yet, even in our sometimes broken struggles to forgive, we are forgiven. For God's love in Jesus cannot finally be conquered by any human sin. And the creed goes on. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John that God is love. St. Augustine taught us Christians in the West of the world to recognize the Holy Spirit as the endless love between the Father and the Son, the infinite love of the Father for the Son, and the love that the Son of God incarnate in Jesus endlessly returns to the Father. That dance of infinite love is itself the third person, the Holy Spirit. We know love in a myriad of ways. Perhaps some of us had parents who loved us. Perhaps we might have friends whose love is of a different kind, but life-giving nonetheless. Or perhaps, in my case, a spouse whose faithful love through better or worse has helped me be a better, more loving person. Or perhaps you've been shortchanged in love. You haven't received it, or it has gone terribly wrong. If so, that's not your sin. You've been sinned against. But where does real love come from? Every Christian mystic would tell you that the greatest human loves come from the deepest source, from God's love, the God who loves unconditionally and infinitely and without end. Loves you and me and all people, the river of love from which all our human wells of love can be filled. That stream of love can be more explosive than a flooded river in full power, sweeping things away and carving a new course. And it also can be as quiet as a deep well of water in the desert to slake the thirst of parched travelers. That love of God is the Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father's love through the Son's love. God's love eternally given to us here, today, in this community and at this communion rail. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each in relation to each other and by mercy in relation to us. Three persons who, transcending all human understanding, are yet one God. That is the God we worship every time we turn our minds to the divine. The triune God is real, the ground of all reality. God the Creator, the divine fountain of forgiveness and new life, Jesus Christ, infinite love in person, the Holy Spirit, the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whom we worship this day, to whom be all our love, all honor, praise, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.